Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs. In the last broadcast of Go and Teach, we began a series of studies concerning our Savior, Jesus Christ. If you'll remember, we noted how Jesus was referred to as the Good Shepherd, and how you and I, like sheep, find direction and protection by following his lead. Today I'd like to view Jesus from a different perspective, that is, the suffering servant. Our text for this lesson will be found in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. You know, the challenge of suffering is universal. It began in the Garden of Eden, when Eve and then Adam made the wrong choice. And we could well say that human suffering is inseparable from living. Because of that, when Jesus Christ took on flesh, he took on suffering. Jesus Christ mashed his finger. It would have hurt, just like when you and I mash our finger. Jesus Christ stubbed his toe. It would have hurt, just like when you and I stub our toe. The very same from a physical perspective in both instances. Jesus suffered because he became flesh, because of his humanity. Jesus met the challenge of suffering different than you and I meet the challenge of suffering in our life oftentimes, and that is, he met it and overcome it without sin. We read in Hebrews the 4th chapter and verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we, yet without sin." It's because of that, James the author says, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trials." Chapter 1, verse 12 of the book of James. Now I'd like for you, if you have your Bible, to open it up to the book of Philippians, the authored by the Apostle Paul. Go to chapter 2, and let's read the first 11 verses. "If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affliction and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, also God highly exalted him, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven, and on earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." It was through Christ's suffering that you and I can enjoy unity with God. Without the suffering of Jesus, unity with deity would be impossible to attain. It's human nature, isn't it, for shared events to make people close. There's a club that we have in our society by the name of VFW, the Veterans of Foreign Wars. The participants or the members in that club are those who have fought in wars. And because of that those shared events, they have a closeness, they have a camaraderie that they feel. We also, in our society, have an organization called Alcoholics Anonymous, and that is designed to help and to strengthen and to allow those who have the problem of alcoholism to overcome through the strength of the camaraderie in that club and its meetings. So it's easy for us to understand through those illustrations how it's human nature for shared events to make people close. Well, we can have a closeness with Jesus Christ because of the same kind of motivation. Jesus cried, you and I cry. Jesus hurt, you and I hurt. Jesus suffered. He suffered physically and he suffered emotionally. You and I suffer physically and emotionally. Jesus died, and you and I must die. And through those shared events, we become closer. It powerfully draws us to him. And thus Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. John 12 and verse 32. There is a result of suffering. There is a positive result of suffering, and that is increased strength. That's the whole philosophy behind weightlifting in the physical. A person lifts weights, tears down muscle fiber, and then rests, and through the rest, those muscles are built and rebuilt even stronger than before, and then through lifting again, they're torn down, and then through rest, they're built up, and as that is repeated, the muscles get bigger and they get stronger. You and I, every time we take a stand for Jesus Christ, even though there's suffering involved, we'll become stronger. Our strength will increase for Jesus Christ every time we work for Jesus. Our sufferings will never equal the sufferings of Jesus, but our strength can increase through suffering to our potential. I want you to notice that in verse 5 of our text, that you and I are to have the same attitude as Christ had. Look at it again. Paul writes, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, isn't that something that we have the capabilities, we have the potential to have that kind of an attitude? It's with that charge in mind that I'd like to look at Jesus now from three different perspectives for our learning. And this will be our lesson. I want to look at Jesus as the servant. I'd like to look at Jesus as the sufferer. And finally, I'd like to look at Jesus as our Savior. First of all, Jesus the servant. Jesus is the fulfillment of prophetic hope. Isaiah, the great prophet of old, foretells the humility and the humbleness of that servant 20 times in his book. In chapter 42, verse 1 through 9, the emphasis is on the servant's gentleness, his endurance, and his universal influence. Again, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verse 1 through 13, the strength of God's servant to accomplish his mission is highlighted there. In chapter 50, verse 4, beginning and reading through verse 11 in Isaiah, the humiliation and the sufferings through which Jesus passed for the good of mankind is the message that is highlighted. In chapter 52 of Isaiah, beginning in verse 13 and going through that famous chapter 53 and verse 12, the wisdom, the exaltation of one possessing no outward attractiveness is focused when Isaiah looks forward to Jesus Christ. Oh, the public reaction to such a man was wholly predictable. He was acquainted with grief, the Bible says. He was despised, the Bible says. He was not esteemed by man, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3. But even so, even though he was acquainted with grief, even though he was despised, even though he was not esteemed by man, he bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. He was afflicted. He was wounded. He was bruised. That was because of our iniquities. Make no mistake, my friend, Jesus Christ died for you and me. In that death, he became the perfect atonement for our sins. Read with me in Hebrews the 5th chapter, verse 8 and 9. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Jesus was, and Jesus is, the manifestation of God's love. When Jesus on that cross said, "It is finished," our hope began. Well, a second way to view Jesus is as the sufferer. In no other way could a just God be satisfied than through a perfect sacrifice, and that's what Jehovah God demanded for the sins of mankind. Suffering is what brings us near to deity. In Romans 8 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul wrote, "And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." Jesus suffered, and he suffered in order to do his Father's will. He volunteered his life for humanity. You and I are called. You and I are called to love because Jesus loved us first, 1 John 4 and verse 19. There's some very descriptive and some very key words in the New Testament that show the severity of the suffering of Jesus. Here are but a few. In John 12 and verse 27, we see that Jesus' soul was troubled. He was soul troubled. He was thinking about Gethsemane. He was thinking about the crucifixion. In Matthew 26 and verse 37, the Bible says he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. When you look up the words "very heavy" in the original Greek, Hebrew text, it says that the definition is a total occupation of the mind. Indeed, Jesus' mind was totally occupied, was very heavy, thinking about those events through which he would go for our benefit. In Mark 14 and verse 33, we read that Jesus began to be sore amazed. That's in the garden. The Greek of that is that Jesus was at the point of horror. Have you ever seen something that just brought you to the point of horror? Have you ever had thoughts in your mind that were almost too horrific to even consider? That's how Jesus was in the garden when thinking about the cross. In Matthew 26 and verse 38, the Bible says, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful." That would be to the point of death. Jesus was totally encompassed by that feeling. In Luke 22 and verse 44, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat, as it were great drops of blood." I wonder at times if that agony in Luke 22 and 44 is what Isaiah was referring to in chapter 53 and verse 12, where he said, "He hath poured out his soul unto death." I don't think there's ever been in the history of mankind a more touching cry than when Jesus cried out to God in Psalms 22 and verse 1, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Indeed, the climax of the agony felt by Jesus on the cross. Now I'd like to look with you as Jesus as the Savior. He traversed from the agony of the garden to the glory of heaven. Jesus won a stunning victory over death. Jesus returned to wear the crown that was rightfully his. Jesus, through suffering, became our Savior. Philippians 2, verse 8 through 11. Read that again. "And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in the earth and those on the earth and under the earth. Praise the King. What does this mean to us? When we study a lesson like this, and it becomes so emotional as we try to put Jesus Christ and the events of his death into our mind, what does it mean? Is it just academic to us? Or does it mean something that's going to change our life? Well, I would tell you that these thoughts set before us a challenge, a great challenge. And I would say that you and I must be willing, we must be willing to partake in his suffering by laying down some of the comforts provided to us by Satan. We must be willing to participate, not just to know about, we must be willing to participate in his suffering to bring about salvation. Follow along with me as I read some verses that pertain to that line of thought. In Galatians 6 and verse 17, Paul wrote, "From now on let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." I wonder, do I bear anything from the suffering for the Lord Jesus that I have decided to do in with my life? Again, in Hebrews 11 and verse 25, "Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin." Now look at 1 Peter 2, verse 20 and 21. "For what credit is there if when you are beaten for your faults you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to do this you were called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps." Again, from the same author, from Peter, in 1 Peter 3 and verse 13 or verse 14, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats. Don't be troubled." Now look at 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. "But may the God of grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." Romans 8 and verse 17. "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." Finally, in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution." Did you hear that? The Apostle Paul, in writing to his young friend Timothy, who was a preacher of the gospel, says, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus." Let me just stop right there and ask you, do you desire to live godly in Christ Jesus? Is that a big thing in our life? Well, if it is, the Apostle Paul wrote, we will suffer persecution. I've heard people say, "Well, I've been a Christian for years and I've never suffered persecution." Well, I guess that tells us what kind of a Christian that person has been for years. We're not just talking here about suffering for suffering's sake. We're talking about suffering for a divine cause. What a difference there is in the two. That suffering may not make sense to us when we're enduring it. Do you think in studying the book of Job that he understood all of the suffering that was going on in his life? Well, he didn't. But we've got to take that suffering. We've got to rejoice in that suffering because it is to our advantage. We can use that to our advantage. We can grow from the suffering that we endure. Our prayer today is for courage. If suffering lies ahead for us because of our love for Jesus Christ, well then, we need courage, don't we? We need courage to stand as a Christian. We need courage to become a better Christian. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time." The proper time is coming. James says, "Life is like a vapor. It's here for a little while and vanishes away." The time will come when time shall be no more for us. We must become ready for that time through the way that we live and the things that we suffer and grow from now. Jesus taught that true living is daily dying. And the only way to get up to God is to go through the valleys of humiliation, the valleys of sorrow, the valleys of suffering. To go through those are no fun, are they? But that's the way up. To become giants, we must become as little children. We can never be free from sin unless we touch and lift those lives of sinners. Jesus suffered for our sins. He paid for our pride. How could any person reject such a divine and wonderful offer as Jesus Christ brings to us today? Well, this lesson, plus any of the Go and Teach programs, are available to you free of charge or of obligation. If you'll access our website, that's www.montavista.com. That's www.montevista.com. There'll be an email form on that site. You can use that to order these lessons on CD. Give us your name, your mailing address, and which lesson or lessons that you want, and we'll mail them to you. You can also listen to the show via the computer at any time or at any location, day or night. There are people in Iraq that listen to this program, soldiers of our nation. Use our website also for that feature. At the Monte Vista Church of Christ, we offer many complimentary informational tracks for your consideration. Subjects that you can look at and learn from. Subjects like, what makes the Bible so special? Or, why is it important to read the Bible? Why do we need to interpret the Bible? We have a tract that's entitled, Does God Exist? Also one, Was Jesus Christ a Liar, a Lunatic, or the Lord? We have tracts entitled, Do Infants Need to Be Baptized? Is baptism a human work? We have a track entitled, The Heavens and the New Earth. One entitled, What is the Second Working of Grace? We have tracts that address the subject of premillennialism. We have tracts addressing the subject of Calvinism. We have tracts for your consideration concerning the subject, Are Miracles Being Performed Today? What do you think? Do you think that today there are miracles like there were in the first century? We have a tract that answers the question, how does one enter the church? And how is the New Testament church governed? What caused denominations to come into the world? What makes the Church of Christ different? That might be a question that you would be interested in after coming to visit us. We have a tract entitled, At What Point Does the Blood of Christ Save Us? And what does it mean to be born again? All of these subjects are very important to people that are trying to learn and to live a life that is acceptable to Jesus Christ. Well, I thank you for listening today. That's our study. If you're like I am, every single time that you consider Jesus Christ, the result is always an increased faith. We assemble for worship at the Monte Vista Church of Christ on the Lord's Day. That's on Sunday. We assemble on Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible study. We have classes there for all ages. We don't have a creed at Monte Vista. We use just the Bible. We have classes for all ages, and we all study the same subject. In fact, we start with the book of Genesis, and we go entirely through the Bible every 6 to 6.5 years. We study each subject, the same subject in each class, to promote family Bible study. We think that's a good idea. Then after our Bible study on Sunday morning, we enter into a worship service where we pray and sing and partake of the Lord's Supper, where we give of our means and hear and study a lesson of God's Word. We hope that you'll come and join us in that study when it's convenient. We assemble again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock, and there we have another worship service. We get together on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Seems like such a long week not to be closely associated with other Christians, So we come together on Wednesday night and we have a Bible study. We sing and we pray and we study God's Word. A lot of times it seems like a difficult thing to get ready to come to Wednesday night Bible study, but I'll tell you, once we get there, we're always glad that we made the right decision. Well, my prayer for you this week is the same as it is every week. I pray that you and that I will have unusual opportunity this week to let a bright light shine for Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening. Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.